How was that experience for you? What did you learn from the tribal chief?
You should probably ask him what he learned from me.
was it a negative experience?
It's the show that celebrates WWE. It's Gorilla Position.
Let me talk to you. Hello, you, and welcome to Gorilla Position. I'm a champion. Thank you for hitting the download button on this, your pro wrestling / sports entertainment podcast of pleasure. My name's James D'Lo, your host and your guide through the wonderful world of WWE. Thank you for tuning in. Oh, I've got the sniffles. Sorry about that. Thank you for tuning in to this episode 309 of the biggest and best WWE podcast in the UK. The only show of its kind to be supported, endorsed, and promoted by WWE themselves. It is the 8th of March, and here we are with another WWE Superstar Friday Special. And man, have we got a big name for you today. Yeah! That's right, the one and only L.A. Knight is my guest this week. WWE's fastest rising star in recent memory. An overnight sensation, you could call him. You could, but you shouldn't. Because we all know the reality. L.A. Knight has been plugging away, scratching and clawing away, should I say, for the last 20 years to get to where he is now. On the grand stage of WWE, top of the card, main event match with Roman Reigns under his belt, unrivaled adoration from the fan base. But is he happy? Has he reached the promised land? Find out on this week's WWE Superstar Special of Gorilla Position. Plus, LA Knight talks Kevin Nash. Those criticisms of LA Knight's work. We chat about AJ Styles, WWE creative, his WhatsApp groups, meditation, promos, working with writers, his relationship with The Rock, which, by the way, dates back to about 2013, which I didn't realize. So much ground covered and a very, very funny conversation too. Absolutely loved Chewing the Fat with L.A. Knight. Yeah. You're getting your money's worth from producer Ben, I'll tell you that. L.A. Knight on the show this week. I say chewing the fat, there's not an ounce of fat on the man. He is a behemoth of a man. Speaking of behemoths, what a nice segue. WWE 2K24, the headline sponsor of Gorilla Position across this year. To those of you who listened to the show on Wednesday, you got me and Mex's full thoughts after playing the game at 2KHQ in London. We just had a tremendous old time. It was a lot of fun going there. The offices of 2K are so cool. We went into their gaming room and just spent a few hours playing the game, just having a barrel lot of laughs. And the game is superb. And I'm not just saying that because they're our sponsor. They really have done incredible work. So go check out. It's Friday the 8th. So the whole shebang is out now. The deluxe edition with Rhea and Bianca on the front. The 40 Years of WrestleMania edition. That is out, and the standard edition with Cody Rhodes on the cover. All editions are out right now. Go and order the game. You can use the link in this here podcast feed. It's available on PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and PC. We've all got the game. The gang have got the game. We're very excited to play more of it. I was a little bit rubbish, I'll be honest. Mex throttled me in every match we had. But it was so much fun. We're going to release more videos from our trip to 2KHQ on our socials. So make sure you check those out at WWGP on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, youtube.com/@WWEGP. Just go subscribe, go follow. And tell your friends, tell your nan, tell your sister to go follow us. All your support is tremendously, tremendously appreciated. Thank you very much. So I think we're going to play in my sit-down interview with LA Knight. As I said, big fun talking to him. He was just a massive laugh, really doesn't take himself too seriously, but loves to talk. Loves to talk. Couldn't get a word in edgeways at some points. But I really enjoyed spending time with him properly. I met him briefly at Money in the Bank last year when they were over in London. In his defense, it was a 5-minute quick kind of red carpet interview where they do the sort of junket setups. However, I was very annoyed he didn't remember me. So fuming about that. But that comes up in the interview. By the way, a couple of things, and this always happens when we record a podcast. This past Wednesday, it was myself, the man they call Skillet, and the man, the myth, the legend, Mex. And we were chatting all things WWE, all things The Rock and Roman and WrestleMania and Cody and Seth and rah, 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 rah. So much going on, so much to be excited about. But we were talking at length about Paul Heyman and him being inducted into the Hall of Fame, which, you know, is just incredibly excited. We're hoping to be out in Philadelphia to be there when someone like Paul Heyman is inducted into the Hall of Fame. Is going to be incredibly special because, I've been following the man since the late 80s and his WCW days, so it'll be very special. But I always come away from the podcast records and there are always things that I wish I wish I could have said or had remembered to say. We were talking about who will induct the great Paul Heyman into the 2024 class of Hall of Fame. My pick was Stone Cold Steve Austin. Go back and listen to Wednesday's episode. I make a strong case for Steve Austin being the absolute one that should induct Paul Heyman. But maybe the obvious choice, and perhaps it's too obvious, but I didn't mention Roman Reigns. Does that make complete sense? He's had so much history with Heyman. Heyman knows Roman's family dating back decades. And of course, Roman is doing the most tremendous work of his career with Heyman by his side. And as we said on the podcast, the Bloodline storyline over the last 3 years has been the greatest story in pro wrestling over the last 25 years, bar none, hands down. So maybe that's, and as I say, maybe it's too obvious. Maybe it's the kind of thing that Roman Reigns wouldn't do. Maybe he would not kind of break character at this point, at this kind of crucial point when he's doing such big stuff with The Rock. So maybe that's a reason not to have Roman induct Heyman, but I just thought it was worth mentioning because I forgot to mention it on Wednesday. What are your thoughts? Who should induct Paul Heyman into the WWE Hall of Fame? Let us know on Twitter at WWEGP and we'll read out your suggestions, but come on, it's Austin. Oh, hell yeah. Speaking of yeah, let's get into it. Oh, Ben, come on, let's do it. I have just realised we can do something with our new kit here in the GP studio. And from one flick of a button, Ben can make my voice sound like this. Go on, Ben.
Okay, so... it's just so funny. It's a... Hello, you, and welcome to Gorilla Position. Oh, God, I'm a child. I'm a child. Right, turn it off.
Turn it off. Oh, God. I could honestly spend all day with that voice in my head. It's incredible. We should invite listeners down to the studio just to sort of test out the different fun voices we should do. Are there any others?
1-2, 1-2. There he is, the man of doom.
Hello. No.
Get off. No. All right.
Come on. Let's get into it. Here is our sit down with LA Knight. We'll be releasing the full video on our YouTube channel. Again, go subscribe. We want to get to 100,000 subscribers before WrestleMania, ideally. Come on, we're getting close. It's going up every single day, but we need your support. YouTube.com/@WWEGP. So the full visual interview will be uploaded shortly, but here is your exclusive. And it is a genuine exclusive. I know there are loads of outlets out there going, oh, here's my exclusive with such and such. But that's when they're doing the rounds. That's when they're doing all the PR and they do a million different interviews. But this is a proper exclusive backstage in the locker room with one L. a night. I hope you enjoy it. This has been a Starstruck Media production. We shall see you for more WWE goodness on Gorilla Position next Wednesday. I'm a champion! LA Knight.
We're here. Here we are.
Yeah.
It's you and it's me. I stepped on my own, yeah, but that's all right.
What do people call you, by the way? Do they call you LA?
What kind of a question is that? LA Knight, you just called me that.
No, but...
Yeah, some people call me LA, some people call me Knight, some people call me LA Knight. Some people think it's really cute and funny to go, La Knight, because that's cute.
And I bet you like that, don't you?
Well, it's funny because each person delivers it like it's the first time I've ever heard it.
Mm.
So I'm like, thanks.
You know, so did you then cut a promo on them?
I usually just don't answer to it and walk the other way.
Okay. Anyway, La Knight, welcome to Gorilla
All right,
Position.
See you guys.
Yeah, I had to do it. I'm sorry.
Goofs.
Yeah, goofs. How are you today? Are you good?
I'm good. I'm underslept, but I'm good. That's probably why I have the shades on, so you don't see my tired eyes.
Oh, your eyes are looking good. Your eyes are looking good.
That's what they say.
So there's
the baby blues. They do it. I don't know what it is.
Have you got blue eyes as well?
Yeah.
Oh, like me.
Yeah. Where are you from? I mean, I should know from your accent, right?
Yeah, well, you can guess where
I'm
from.
But I don't want to, I don't want to assume. Why don't you tell everybody at home who doesn't know?
Go on, make an assumption. Where am I from?
Where are you from?
Yeah.
Say a couple words again. Say the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain.
The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain.
You're clearly British, but I don't know, I couldn't tell you what part or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, from a little place called Sussex,
okay.
South England,
well,
near London.
Okay, so my family lineage, I think, has a little bit of... Irish in it, so right. You know, next door neighbors, so that's where I get my blue eyes from, probably.
Okay. Yeah,
but I think there might be a little bit of British history and maybe some German, so I don't know. It's a whole, and there's probably things that I don't even know, but I refuse to do the 23andMe. I don't want to send my DNA off to somebody and then they'll clone me somewhere, and that's gonna be a bad day. We're going off on a tangent right now, we're not talking about anything that matters right now.
There will never be another LA Knight, we can't clone you. You're the one and only.
It's going to be trouble for the world if they make two of me. But
absolutely,
we'll see how it goes.
So listen, I want to talk about your schedule. Seemingly, there's no sort of typical.
What's the name of the show, by the way? I don't even know. I'm here and I don't know.
You're unbelievable. You don't know where I'm from. You don't know the name of the show.
I don't even know my name. What's going on?
Gorilla Position.
No, I knew that. I was looking right at it. That's why I asked you.
At WBGP.
I just didn't know if you just had that on your computer. I'm like this mark.
I'm
over
not
here.
A loser.
No, I'm just.
I'm a mark.
Anybody who says that. I'm not a loser.
It's clearly a loser.
Come on.
Right, should we get into this interview or should
no,
we just...
We should just probably mess around a little more.
Okay. Favorite joke of all time? Go.
I'm not really a big punchline joke teller. Okay. I have one in my head now.
Go on.
Because I just saw the example... in a group chat I'm in, but I don't think I can repeat it.
Who's in the group chat?
Nobody you'd know. It's all guys from high school.
Okay. What are their names? I might know them.
Well, then go ahead. We'll go down the line. We've got my friend JR. We've got my friend Alex. We've got another friend named Alex, oddly enough. My friend John and my friend Eric. And they're spread all over the United States. One of them's in Modesto, California. One of them's in Aliso Viejo, Orange County, California. One's in Baltimore, Maryland. One's like up the way from Baltimore, Maryland. And one's in Atlanta, Georgia.
I didn't ask where they were from.
So now, hey, look. If you want to know, I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
So now that you know all about my friend group chat that nobody knows and nobody cares about, and we bored everybody to sleep at this point, how do we wake everybody up now?
Who's your favorite?
Who's my favorite what?
Out of those friends.
They're all...
If you had to pick one.
You know, they're like snowflakes. No two are alike, and they're very special in their own way.
Just like you.
Well, I mean, some would say.
Let's talk about your schedule.
Let's. It's a busy one.
Seemingly, well, it is. And seemingly, there's no typical day for a WWE superstar. What with the travel and the media and obviously the training, which you do an enormous amount of, clearly. But what is the one thing that you do like to keep typical? Is there like a routine or a ritual that you do that you have to keep the same that you couldn't do without?
Are we talking on the road or at home or any of them?
Any of them. Your choice. What's the first thing that pops into
your head? Well, I mean, the gym is... I look forward to the gym. I don't know if people like dread it or what, but like I very much share a lot of that like Arnold Schwarzenegger thing where he says like, you know, you see the people in the gym who just kind of have that look on their face where they're just, and sometimes I probably have that look on my face because I have RDF, I have resting dick face. But like, I think that thinking about being there and just getting in there and doing it and thinking about making the progress gets me excited in some way. And yeah. I just said half the sentence over here, so nobody heard it. But I get excited about that in a weird way. Maybe I'm just, I don't know, I'm messed up in the head maybe, but I enjoy that. So that's like something that I have to do, unless it's an off day, which is like maybe one day a week. But that's really the only thing I can say for sure, because I mean, that's the one thing that has to happen. I'm trying to meditate more.
Are you?
I am. I've been trying to do that for 10 years. And there are little, I'll go through little bouts where like I'll do it every day for a little while, and then I'll just feel too busy and not do it. And I hate that.
But I can't imagine LA Night meditating.
I know you can't, but I definitely try and sit down and do it. I learned Transcendental Meditation back in 2014. There's a little tidbit for you.
That's
exclusive. I've never told anybody else that before. But yeah, I learned Transcendental Meditation back in 2014. So I do that when I remember. And it's actually very, very helpful, not only for just like quieting and calming yourself, but actually there's so many times where creatively, once you just try and relax. Mm. And the funny thing is with that meditation, a lot of people think when you're sitting there, you're trying to just not think. That's impossible.
No.
You're going to think. The whole idea is you let the thoughts come and then you let the thoughts go. And the way you do that is either focusing on your breath or a mantra or whatever you have. In Transcendental Meditation, you have like a word, sound, a mantra, whatever. And so you focus on that, and that allows whatever thoughts come in to kind of go, because now you're focusing back on this non-meaning thing. Now that I've taught everybody how Transcendental Meditation works, that's, you're all going to owe me about $900, because I think that's what I paid for it. But no, it's very useful. And there's been plenty of times where I've been sitting there, and while I'm just quiet, all of a sudden something will come to me. All right, well, hold on, I got to take a break, write this thing down. Okay, cool. Now I can sit back and relax into it again. So that's something I try to do, but it doesn't have that staple discipline that that the gym does.
Okay. When we last chatted.
Yeah. We chatted before?
Brilliant. Do you know what I mean?
Do you remember this? Do you remember this? I don't remember it either.
In your defense, it was a very quick junket
setup.
You were drunk. You're off your face.
It was a whole thing.
It was a whole thing.
I was pissed, mate. Oh, wait, that's Australian, mate.
Yeah, that was Indian, I think.
That was well something. Swahili, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Love that you're trying to pop the room. It's great. You can't
if it's
help
popping
it.
The room, it's popping it. Them, right?
No, I guess, exactly. I expressed my annoyance that you were kept off the WrestleMania card last year.
You should have heard me a couple days ago. They pulled me into a room and they were like, "What's your favorite WrestleMania moment since you've been here?" And I was like, "Oh, let me tell you about it." And I went on a whole diatribe, but I digress.
Can't wait to see that. But this year, looking like you will have a phenomenal opponent in AJ Styles, seemingly. What do you think of that match? Are you frustrated not to be in the title picture in Philly? Talk to me.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. You are frustrated.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Well, in a certain way, so I look at my career in the sense of 2023, in all reality, should have never happened the way it happened. That was insanity. That was crazy how, I mean, literally, legitimately, there were no plans for me after the Royal Rumble. There was nothing. I was there to... because I was trusted to be good enough to hang with Bray and make him look good. And I think I did that, but in the process, my God, did a light shine. But for whatever reason, then there were no plans for me after that. And so for the things to go the way that they did in the last year, it's amazing. But I get all these congratulations and everybody's like, "Man, this is congratulations, you've done so much." And I'm like, I have, but everything that I've done from a career standpoint, pretty good. But from a merit standpoint, from a standpoint of adding to the resume, saying, hey, this guy's been an Intercontinental Champion. This guy's been a United States Champion. This guy's been a WWE Champion, World Heavyweight Champion, Money in the Bank, Royal Rumble winner, any of that stuff. I really don't have anything to hang my hat on in that regard. Mm. So for that, yeah, I'm kind of like, okay, there's got to be a time now where I start. I created one hell of a foundation in 2023. Now it's time to go and start creating the legacy and start making those things to hang my hat on, start building the resume to where people can say, all right, this guy legitimately can make a claim to being one of the best of this era, if not one of the best in the whole thing. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to be like, this guy, he's terrible. And that's fine. But for me, you know, you look at what happened over the last year, and honestly, I can say, and agree with it or disagree with it, that has never happened ever in the history of the business. There have been guys who've gotten crazy, crazy over in a short amount of time, and it's because they had rocket pushes.
Yeah.
I had none until finally their hand was forced. In that regard, this has never, ever happened where there were no expectations put on someone and all of a sudden lit the damn world on fire. But that's cool. But to me, it's like, all right, cool. I've now proven the worth. Now let's build the empire.
Yeah.
So, is there a little frustration in that regard? I suppose. But at the same time, if you don't think I'm going to walk into WrestleMania and make this a big one, boy, oh boy, we're going to have a good time.
I can't wait. Can't wait. You were in the title picture. You had a main event match with Roman late last year.
Yeah.
How was that experience for you? What did you learn from the Tribal Chief?
You should probably ask him what he learned from me. Man, I've got so many different thoughts on that one. And I don't want to give you all of them.
Was it a negative experience?
No. Oh, okay. No, not at all. But you know, someone in my mind, there's some thought to, well, maybe that shouldn't have happened at that point in time. Maybe there should have been a little bit more of a climb on the way there. But at the same time, things were at such a rapid pace. I think that there was almost kind of a, all right, well, we're just going to throw him out there, sink or swim. Well, son of a bitch swam like crazy. I think I'm also just, you know, getting my bearings as far as being a fan favorite, if you will. Mm. Something about this face. I've been in this business for 20 years, and there's something about this face to where everything, every place that I've ever worked, everybody has said, you're an asshole. You look like an asshole. You can't possibly be a babyface. You can't possibly be a fan favorite.
Resting dick face.
Yes. RDF is strong here. So for the better part of 20 years nearly, I've worked as the shithead. Can I say that? I just did.
Yeah.
And so it's quite an adjustment to go from that. It's almost a learning process in a way, because very early in my career, I was the fan favorite. I was the baby face. I did all that stuff, but it was like the first year or two. And then from there, they were like, oh, you, sir, are a dickhead. And that was pretty much my trajectory from then on.
But you have become a fan favorite. You have an incredible connection. You know, we talked about last year, an amazing run for you.
Because I talked that shit.
Yeah, you did.
And I dropped my glasses while I do it.
And when, like, we, as fans, we love it when something, anything is as over as you are.
Yeah.
It's so special. Does it add a lot of pressure to you to sort of maximize your minutes? Like, because there's that expectation, because you've got that connection to the crowd.
Sure.
Do you feel the pressure when you go out there?
Sure. Because, I mean, you know, I remember, you know, the Eminem song, The Way I Am?
Mm.
I am whatever you say I am, that kind of thing. There's a line in that song where he talks about his frustrations over trying to come up with a single, a new single that's going to top My Name Is, which was like the big breakout hit that he had on his first album. And there's a lot of that where it's like, all right, well, I've blazed this crazy trail. Now I've got to not only keep it going, but I got to top it and I got to continue. So yeah, there's some of that where it's just like, now we keep the whole thing going. But if I'm talking about hip hop, let's keep on going. When you try hard, it's when you die hard, huh? Yeah. And what that means is like, I don't want to try and force anything. I don't want to be a try hard in the sense of trying to, you know, squeeze the square peg into the circle hole.
Yeah.
So at that point, it's kind of letting things come natural. The yeah thing was something that I was just doing in my normal natural life. Let me talk to you was kind of a thing too.
Which is my favorite line ever, yeah. By the way.
And so just trying to figure those things out. Or not even, that's the thing, is not even figuring it out. It's just something hits or I'm doing it or whatever. And it's there, and it can't be crowbarred.
No, it can't. And so is it fair to say then that the LA Knight, the character we see on TV, is essentially you turned up to 11? Because there's something very real, yes. And very authentic that people have connected with.
I've always described it as if you take me at a party and me in an argument and you put them together.
Oh, perfect.
You've got LA Knight.
Yeah.
It's that. All that energy. My girlfriend knows the argument side of me.
Yeah.
She also knows the party side. So she could probably attest to this and be like, oh, yes, yes, that's exactly what it is. Because, I mean, I'm big and boastful at a party, and I'm going to be a stubborn jerk if I'm arguing with you. I'll be fair. I'm like a pit bull. Okay. I'm nice and sweet. You can pet me. You can say sweet nothings to me, and I'll be a
tickle sweet, your tummy.
Well, don't do that. I'll be a sweetheart to you. But if you're a dickhead to me, I'll bite the hell out of you.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the whole thing there.
Okay. What differences have you seen personally in this new Triple H era, especially when it comes to creative?
I plead the fifth. No, I don't know. I mean, there's little bits of changes and stuff, but I mean, it looks good to me. I don't know.
It definitely looks good.
Yeah,
it's better than it has been for years.
Yes, and you know what? No, you know, I'm going to leave that one alone.
Oh, what? What were you going to say?
Doesn't matter. But it's clearly tease. Look it, when you look at the fact that. I came in NXT, I was doing my thing there, and I feel like I was doing my thing very, very well there. And then to come up and for there to be such a disconnect from there to the main roster, and nobody had any idea what I was doing down there. And it's like, well, he's going to, why don't we try having him run a modeling agency? Huh? So, I mean, personally, gigantic differences.
Yes.
At the same time, I'm sure there are some people who are very happy with the changes, some people who aren't very happy with the changes. But I would say overall, I've noticed that, and I'm not saying this to disparage anyone, the former, whoever's running, whatever, but I notice a drastic difference. I think everybody noticed a drastic difference just alone in the attendance. Every arena now has been full. I mean, of course, house shows generally don't always sell out, but the house shows have even been close. But I mean, like when I first was coming up in 2022 and I'm doing the stupid fashion shows, half the side of the arena would be, there'd be a decent amount of empty seats over there. Now everywhere we go, it's filled out.
Yeah. It's so exciting. Speaking of exciting, The Rock.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of comparisons, obviously, to you and The Rock and Steve Austin.
Yeah.
It comes up a lot. But I'm interested to know, have you had many dealings with The Rock since he's been back? Because do you have a relationship with him? Because you were on his reality show, right?
I mean, relationship's probably overselling it a bit.
Have you got his number?
No.
No. He's got yours.
Yeah, probably, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
He's on the group chat.
I used to, yeah, that? Yeah. He's just watching over. He's an NPC in the group chat. I used to send emails back and forth with his manager. This was like 10 years ago, but I haven't talked to her or them in forever. And then he came back in Denver, I think, just a few months ago, and. I think he was just coming in to walk right into the arena for his thing, and we just kind of, you know, dapped it up, whatever. Hey, good to see you, whatever. And he was on his way in there. And that was about it. But then just this past Friday, we kind of, he stopped by, and he was walking by. I was sitting on one of the things, and he stops and talks to me. And we actually had like a little conversation, nothing in, super in depth, but it was just like, where are you living now? What's going on? Da 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 da. And mind you, when I met him in 2013 and I was on a show, I was flat ass broke. Like, I went to go do that show with him. I didn't have the money to pay for my bags to like go do the show.
Wow.
Now, you know, we're talking about things. I'm talking about, you know, I love LA, but I don't think I can move back there. So I'm staying put in Orlando right now, you know, the taxes and all the press. And he's like, talking like a rich man. And I was like, yeah, things are a little different from when we last met.
Yeah. So, yeah. Nice. You seem pretty headstrong and confident with things that you do. I'm on the
verge of a breakdown daily.
It really seems that way. Are you good at taking advice from veterans of the industry?
Sure.
Because there is an argument to say too many opinions from too many people,
yes,
in a way dilutes what you're trying 100%. To do naturally on camera.
So, yeah, but see, okay, so you got, the problem is, and this seems to be a problem just in the world and in this country particularly, if I can get sociopolitical on you here.
Please do, yeah.
Everybody likes to be to one extreme or the other. And it's either, I want all the advice, or I don't want your advice.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm like, give me the advice. I might not take all of it, but I'll consider it, I'll hear it, let me hear it.
Take the bits that resonate.
If this makes sense to me, okay, cool, I'll do it. But, you know, I mean, you look at, I don't know if you're familiar with Howard Stern.
Yeah.
But here's a guy who came up in radio, and radio had a way that it ran for years and years and years. And he bucked that system, and people said, you can't do it that way. You got to do it like Imus. Do it like Imus. Like, I'm not Imus. I don't do that. And so he was right in the end. So there are times where you have to say, thank you, I appreciate the advice, I'm going to do my thing. Mm. But you can't just F off everybody and just be like, oh, I don't even want to hear that. That's silly, because there are people who are going to be more experienced than you, who are going to be ahead of you, who know things or see things from a different angle that maybe you don't. They're going to impart something that maybe you could use, maybe you can't. And even if you don't use it, at least, okay, I can filter that through. Is there something in there for me? No. Okay, I'm going to keep doing my thing. Is there something in there for me? Should I think about this? Oh, okay, well, maybe I will add this little thing. So for me, it's consider every bit of advice that comes in, except for some goof on Twitter. And
are you talking about Kevin Nash?
Huh?
Are you talking about Kevin Nash?
Who the hell's that? And then from there, you know, do what you want with it.
He was a big draw, wasn't he, Kevin Nash?
No.
Then
does it frustrate you when
it's not setting in,
when people like that criticize your work? Have you had a conversation with him about it?
No.
No.
No, but I've had conversations with his friends about it, and they've all just been like, "Ah, don't even listen to stuff." So,
okay.
So yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, what am I going to do? Worry about that? I mean, in a certain sense, I guess there's one part of me where it's just like, "All right, well, this guy wants to take food off my table. That's cool," which is kind of a piece of shit move, but that's cool. At the same time, it's like, why am I going to bother thinking too much about it?
Yeah.
You know, I'll just say this. You know what? Never mind. Let's go.
You can't do that. You've done that twice.
I did it, and I'm
going to
do it again. Third time's coming to you.
Oh, for God's sake. Please? Come on, give me that one. What were you going to say?
I forget now. It already left me.
Brilliant.
You're
having a breakdown.
Short-term memory. Losing my mind. I'm very nervous and not confident right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of veterans, John Cena, you had that big tag match,
yep,
at Fastlane against the Bloodline.
Yep.
Post-match, he went to raise your hand. You sort of took your hand away. You
didn't, I said, nada!
Nada! Yeah. And then you raised his hand.
That's right.
Now, I took that as you didn't need the endorsement from John. Was it that, or was it that you wanted to actually show respect to him by raising his hand?
Here's where that advice thing, let's go full circle. Ah. Let's go full circle.
Let's do it.
Had the match with The Miz. Here's Cena as the guest referee. I win that match. Of course, there was the little bit of back and forth that we had. We're back at the entryway. and they did all the replays and stuff, and it comes up, and it's me and John. And he goes to shake my hand, and I kind of hesitated, and I come up, and I'm just jaw-jacking with him, jaw-jacking, whatever. And he's like, you want it, whatever. And I kind of just acquiesced then, finally, and he raises the hand. I get to the back, and somebody is just like, man, you can't do that to John. That's John Cena. Like, he's a 16-day, like, you can't just, like shake his hand. You should raise his hand. And I was like, thank you. I see your advice. I see why you would say that. But I got to trust myself in this process. And I have to trust who I am and what I am and what I'm doing. And even when I talked to John, he was like, you did the right thing. You did the right thing by you. But for me, I don't know if you remember the SummerSlam press conference afterwards. Was it SummerSlam, right?
What was that tag match?
When was it?
Fastlane.
It was not SummerSlam. SummerSlam was the Slim Jim Battle Royal. Fastlane was a tag match. I had said something about that hand raise. So the match ends. He goes to raise my hand. And if you notice there, he goes to raise my hand, and I pulled out. And when I did, I kind of knocked myself in the head like an idiot. But let's pretend like that never happened.
Yeah.
And when I did that, he goes, you son of a bitch, right then and there. And I said that at the press conference. I think people thought I was joking, but he really did, because he knew then, because he wanted to give me the hand raise.
Yeah.
And at that point, I wanted to again call back to that moment we had at the Miz match, where he, you know, we had that little bit of tension and then he raised the hand. And now it's like, all right, he's going to go to raise the hand. Nah, get off me. And be like, no, we're not doing that. And then, you know, boom, here we go. Give the dude the respect, because at this point, he and I are going to be going our separate ways, doing our own thing. So it's like, all right, well, let me be the prickly pear the first time around. Let me still be that the second time around, but at least still pay the respects to the guy.
Nice.
So that was where we were. Did you even ask for any of that detail I just gave you?
Yeah. It's nice that you
gave
me detail.
Does anybody care anymore?
Context
is
key.
Is everybody asleep out there now?
Wake up.
It's just I just keep looking at this camera like these two don't even exist. Hi.
Well, that one's mine. I mean, that's a pointless angle.
Hi, it's just me and you now. I don't know if you heard that rousing story about all the different things that happened with John Cena, but you're welcome.
That was good. That was the best bit. That's going to be the teaser before the titles.
Of course, yes.
It's going to be great. It's standard to ask about favorite moments in the ring.
Okay.
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ask you, what's your most embarrassing moment on the job? Can you tell me a funny story? Make one up if you don't have any.
I have one, but I'm definitely not telling that one.
Oh, come on.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, go on.
I'm going to give you a pre-WWE one.
Okay.
But I made it work. And even Botchamania, kind of, they weren't even sure how to react to it. I think it was like Slammiversary 2016 or something. Okay. It was me and Bram.
Right.
And I'm doing my entrance, and I pop up on the front buckle to do this thing. And as I do that, I backflip over the rope and land on my feet completely by accident, completely messed it up. I don't know what happened. I just got a little too overzealous and went, and I just sold it with the face and everything. And I'm thinking, shit, I'm going to be on fucking Botchamania now. And I'm like, all right, I said, I know how to fix this. I know how to fix this. So at some point in the match, I cut off Bram, I shit can him to the outside, and then I get up on the rope and I do it again and I backflip on purpose this time and then sell it all big. And I'm like, now they're going to think I did it on purpose. And so when, so when you saw it on, they put it on Botchamania, and I think they showed the first one, and then they showed the second one. And I can't remember what they said, but they were like, you almost got us there, Eli. And I'm like, okay, so does that mean they think I did it on purpose, or do they?
That's a good save. Yeah. Well done. Finally.
Got to be thinking out there.
Got to be thinking. Always
it's a thinking. Man's game.
Always
you wouldn't
thinking.
Think so. I know we're out here cracking heads like idiots, but.
Finally, finish your story.
Yeah.
It's a big theme of WWE at the moment. Slogan of the
finish my story. I'm just starting here. I ain't finishing a damn thing.
Well, hold on.
Are you talking about here right now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No. Finish your story. What does that mean to LA Knight? What if you could write your final chapter?
Yeah.
How would that go for LA
Knight? I'll be a multimillionaire, will never have to work again, and I can just leave, and I can go, and I'll have a farm full of puppies, and it'll probably be some form of a dog rescue, and goodbye, everybody, and never see me again.
Do you like dogs?
I love dogs.
Have you got a dog?
I have two dogs.
What are their names?
Herman and Reese. And you can follow them on Instagram, as a matter of fact. Herman
really?
Reese. On it.
You're one of those people, aren't you?
Herman and Reese is their Instagram handle.
Yeah. Okay, lovely.
Yeah.
Would you be upset if their following exceeds your following on
no,
social media?
No, I would
media?
Love that. But, somebody just found a reel of me playing with the dogs, and that all of a sudden made their Instagram blow up. Blow up on their level. Look, it's not my level, you know. Yeah, but, I mean, they went from, 400 followers to all of a sudden, 13,000. So that's a pretty big pickup.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Well, LA Knight, it's been an absolute pleasure, despite the stories that you started and then refused to finish.
Well, I have to save something so I can finish the story, right?
Very nicely done. LA Knight, thanks
so
much.
It's all full circle. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah! LA Knight, ladies and gentlemen.
Gorilla position. I'm a champion!